Hour number three of the program here on the Afternoon Press Box. Darren McFarland, Brad Hopkins with you. It's been an action-packed show, and the action will continue here in just a moment as we talk to the Assistant General Manager of the Nashville Predators, Paul Fenton. But before we get Paul on the line with us, Brad, I don't know if Paul's even aware of this. We need to let him hear all the Predators highlight or headlines that have been out there circulating around town with the big Game 6 victory and elimination of the Ducks yesterday. And so with that being said, Austin, what are some of the headlines you've seen around town?
All right, we've got some mock headlines from around the area. And they go as follows. Wave the magic leg wand. The Preds look very good. Moving on to round 2-2. Preds are ducking awesome. Preds will roll. Spallin'! Nick gets a goal and one. O'Shea, can you see? Is Weber the next Captain America? Fisher carries Preds to second round. Carry spelled as in Carrie Underwood. Extra crispy. Preds fans get to enjoy Terry for one more round. And my personal favorite, Anna Laheim. Preds advance on Passover weekend.
Very nice. Very nice. Let's bring in Paul Fenton, the assistant general manager. I'm sure he's seen those headlines everywhere, Austin. Thank you. Paul, how you doing?
Doing great today, guys. How about yourselves?
What did you think about those headlines? Pretty cheesy, huh?
I don't care. I'll tell you what. They can say everything that they want because, we finally have been able to take that next step, and we feel really good about ourselves. So everybody should be enjoying it and making up things that are real positive.
What did you've been around a lot of hockey games in your lifetime. How loud was – I've already said, and obviously I don't know for a fact, but I've been to every playoff game and probably 300-plus Predator games, and it's the loudest game I've ever been to. What about you? Mm-hmm. What did you think about last night?
Well, I'll tell you, this fan base that we have and the energy that was in this building was I can't say that I've ever experienced anywhere else. And I mean, I played in Canada for a long time in the old Winnipeg days and Calgary days. I mean, we had whiteouts when I was in Winnipeg that were bone chilling. And I think this put that to shame. These fans have been absolutely nothing but great, supportive, knowledgeable as to when to give us that extra support. So for me, it's been a pleasure having been here for 13 years and watching our guys develop, having the ability for me to have a hand in every one of the guys that came in here, especially now our two finalists for awards in Pekka Rinne and Shea Weber. It just makes me very proud to have been a part of it.
Oh, Paul, you're just being modest because I know that the Preds fans, who as feverishly as they are right now, I know they can't touch your days back in Peoria when you were part of the Prancers organization.
Yeah, I'd say that's the only professional team ever to be named Prancers. And the funny thing is the gentleman who owned it, whose name is Ken Wilson, his son Tim works here in our sales group. And Tim has brought me down some of the old stickers, which I have on my wall in my office here, a couple bumper stickers. I have a deck of cards with the Peoria Prancers on it. So we go way back, Tim and I, back to 1982.
Well, I'll make sure I stop in Peoria on my way back home to Moline and pick you up some more stuff if there's anything available.
They lost that name after 1 year. I left after 1 year, thank God. I had a good enough year that I escaped the Peoria City.
Well, actually, what I wanted to talk to you more was about we've been trying to figure out through our poll question, which team that the Nashville community would rather face, and Darren was saying that he would choose the Kings just because of home field ice. But I was just kind of looking back at and reflecting on how well the Predators have played on the road. So at this point, it wouldn't do us too shabby to see anybody, especially if we had to go on the road. Talk about how well the Predators are playing and how comfortable they are playing against somebody else's home ice.
Well, this time of year, I don't think it matters where you are. But that being said, if we could ever get home ice advantage with the success that we've had this year, I think we've only lost 9 games in the regular season at home. We would certainly welcome that. That's home cooking is always good. The comfort of your own arena, the comfort of your fans, and the excitement that it brings every night would certainly be welcomed. That being said, if we have to start on the road like we did this time, then we'll find a way to take advantage of it, chip away, win games, and then get back here and take advantage of again, switching the series and the home ice advantage.
Paul, we had Tom Callahan in here in the first hour in studio with us, and we were talking about some of the unsung heroes and really that line that you could make a strong case of being an MVP in that first series against Anaheim. Just talk about, you know, Jordan Tutu and Smithson and Nick Spaulding with two goals yesterday. Just how big that line was in that Anaheim series.
Well, you guys got it firsthand there, and our fans did firsthand to be able to kind of see a coming out party for that line, I would say. Jordan obviously played the best hockey of his professional career, in my opinion. Showed the skills that we saw when we drafted him. The belligerence to not be held up in any situation, and the character and the drive to push himself through to get scoring chances like he did. And you know, you can't say enough about Jared Smithson's effort on any given night. And I was so happy for him scoring the winning goal the other day. And it's funny, I called that, by the way, the day before, that Jared was going to score the winning goal. And then,
really?
And then with Nick Spaulding, I was talking to Ray Ferraro, who does the TV for TSN out west, and he was asking me about Nick Spaulding, and he says, you know, he's quiet type of player. And I told him, I said, this kid is a terrific player. When I drafted him, actually one of the publications said that that was one of the worst picks in the draft. And I laughed with our scouting staff because I said, obviously they don't know what type of player this kid is with the consistency that he plays with night in and night out. And, you know, we see him as having a huge upside. And you've been able to see what he's been able to do, especially the second half here with his drive, his work ethic, his determination to play both ends of the ice. He's my type of hockey player. I would put it that way. He's my type of hockey player where you know what you're going to get from him every night and you know he's going to contribute.
Paul, I can't help but believe, and I'm sure maybe you echo this same sentiment, that you know, that Nashville being right now recognized as not necessarily one of those teams that you gravitate towards, but an advancement to the second rounds has got to make America and those writers nationally pay attention to what's going on here in Nashville. Talk about how you guys have dealt with basically being the unknowns up until this point, you know, trying to fight for a Stanley Cup.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I'm from Massachusetts, and for the, you know, I've been here for 13 years since day one. I moved down a few years ago with my wife when my kids got out of college, and it was good for me to be able to come down here and instead of just always going out and finding our guys and bringing them here. And it's better to be here every day and to give our coaches the insight as to what I saw when we drafted them and things. But, you know, again, I'm from Massachusetts. My point was I would be walking around in the town that we lived in, and somebody would ask me, you know, what I did for a living, and I would say I worked for the Nashville Predators, and they would look at me and they would say, you know, what's the Nashville Predators? And I would say, well, and the way that I would always answer them is, we play against your Bruins. And they'd go, you're kidding me. And I would say, no, we play against them. In fact, we've beat them the last 3 years in every time that we've played them. And then their eyes would really light up, and they'd say, so Nashville has a hockey team. Well, I think we're past that now. I think us getting to the second round is going to give us some recognition around the United States so that the people in Massachusetts know who we are. And hopefully we'll be facing them maybe in the finals. That would be justice for me.
Wow, that would be. Assistant General Manager of the Predators, Paul Fenton, on the line with us. And kind of building on that, Paul, let's take that from a player's perspective. You know, when you make the trade for a guy like Mike Fisher or the free agency period, how much does really the crowd all these teams that have circulated through throughout the course of a season, there's 41 home dates throughout the year and over the years, and also the success of the franchise help land, because it probably was a lot tougher early on in this franchise history. But just talk about how it's easier to convince guys to come to Nashville and play for the Predators.
You know what? It still becomes a process, but having the support that we do, it's a big selling point. the nice thing is the consistency that we've had in our organization. If you really look at the hockey operations side of it, David and myself have been here since day one with Barry. Brent Peterson has been here since day one, and Rick Knickel who's one of our scouts out west, has been here. So five guys that have been able to stay with the organization for as long as they have. I think it bodes pretty well to the consistency, what the philosophy is here, what messages I've been able to give to our staff over the years is the type of players that we're looking to acquire here and the type of guys that we want to have here. I'm sure you guys deal with our players quite a bit, and you've had interaction with them. I like to look at it as hockey players are a different breed. They are down to earth. They are sellable. They are approachable. And for the most part, you know, we've made a designation here that we're looking for good people with character, and we think that that'll take us a long way. And I think when you interview any one of our players, that's what you'll find.
Paul, you are the assistant general manager of our Predators, but you also serve simultaneously as the general manager for the AHL's Milwaukee Admirals. I guess kind of getting a first look at some of those young players like Blake Jeffrion, who obviously has been one of those big contributors to what we've done here postseason-wise. Talk about what you look for in a young player and his potential to actually take a step and play in the NHL.
Well, you know, it starts even before we get them to Milwaukee. I mean, I've instructed our guys that, you know, we look at character and hockey sense, which are the two most predominant things, and it's no secret that that's what we look at. But having the right eyes to be able to pick that up is the key, and that's what we've been able to put together here with our scouting staff is guys that really look for the same type of ingredients, and then we identify them, we draft them, we develop them, and we put them into Milwaukee. And, you know, I've been fortunate since day one to really be running Milwaukee, and we've won a championship there. But more importantly, we have an American League record for the most consecutive 40-plus win seasons and 90-plus points, as well as making the playoffs, and that's the last 8 years. And I'm very, very proud of that we've been able to put a product there that develops and then is able to take the next step and fit in here seamlessly like we have with, like you say, the Jonathan Blums, who is a late addition up here. Matt Halichuk was down there. Jeffrion was down there this year. If you go through our lineup, I think we had 19 drafted players here this year that have played for the Predators, and then a couple that we've traded draft picks for in order to bring them into the fold like we have. And when you look at it in that respect, there's not a lot of teams in professional sports that have been able to have the success of putting in our own people, if you will, that have the mindset and have been developed and trained to think like Predators. And that's the part of the magic that we have going here right now.
You know, over the years, you know, people have discussed the power play or offensive output. There's always been something. You know, the fan base or the media has talked about that the Predators could get better at. But really, since you guys traded away Mike Dunham and Vokoun took over, goaltending has never been an issue with this franchise. Why is it that year in and year out that is really the core and the strength of this club, along with, of course, the defense with Suter and Weber?
Well, again, there's a lot of praises that go, you know, Mitch Korn gets a lot of it when the finished product is here, and he really does deserve a lot of the credit to be able to mold these guys once we get them. But it is the keen eye of our scouts and the feel that they have for players. In particular, you know, Jani Kekäläinen who's our Finnish scout, was the guy that really pushed the envelope to tell me that we had to draft Pekka Rinne. Because of his expertise and watching him and seeing him behind the scenes like a lot of other teams hadn't seen him, you know, I went through it in detail with him, with the rest of our scouts, and decided that we would draft him after watching him. And he was great. And then Anders Lindbäck has been the next guy who's been able to step in. And you know, his story is Lucas Bergman. We were over watching the tournament. We saw him play once. He got sick. And, you know, I had put him very, very high up in our rankings. We saw him in November, and he didn't play another. He played one more game that year, and everybody forgot about him. We did the research on him, found out what his medical problems were and if they could be solved. He was kind of our secret pick that we took in the last round of the draft. And, you know, same mold, same style, same size as Pekka. And those are two of the success stories that you know, we're very fortunate to have, that our scouts have done the research and we've been able to bring them in so that, yes, we can then develop them into players that are successful in the National League.
You talked about you know, having a vision of Jarrett Smithson scoring the winning goal, maybe the play of Nick Spaulding. Do you have any visions of round two? Do you have anything you'd like to divulge to us?
Yeah, but I can only say it internally here. I can't say it publicly or someone would hit me in here.
So that has happened. You just can't say it publicly.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, maybe one of these days we'll be able to get that. Well, maybe we'll find out afterwards.
All right. Let's follow through with that.
All right. Hey, Paul, thanks for doing this. This has been a fun ride, and we hope it doesn't end anytime soon.
Yeah, we don't want that ride to be over. If it's an amusement park ride, let's just keep this thing going if we could.
Yeah, let's not take off the seatbelt or whatever. Let's just stay in the ride and keep it going.
Fair enough.
All right, thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, guys, take care.
Paul Fenton, the assistant general manager of the Nashville Predators.